You're listening to Working, the show about what people do all day. I'm your host, Jordan Weissman, and this week we're going to take a little break from our series about homelessness while I wrap up some final interviews for that one. And instead, we're going to get into the holiday spirit. I interviewed James Bonavita. He runs B&R Christmas Decorations in Bensonhurst in Brooklyn, and he does Christmas lights. He decorates houses all around New York's tri-state area, but perhaps most importantly, he decorates houses in Diker Heights, which, if you've never heard of this neighborhood, it has over time become, dare I say, world famous, at least if you listen to, you know, TripAdvisor, for its extremely, extremely elaborate and competitive Christmas light displays. The people who own these houses just go all out with the lights, with the Santas, with the reindeer. It's hard to describe unless you've seen a picture of it. But James likes to emphasize that, unlike perhaps some of his competitors, he likes to take a more elegant approach with his lighting displays. And I thought it would be fun to talk to one of the people behind this little piece of the New York holiday season. Enjoy. What's your name and what do you do?
My name is James Bonavita, and I decorate homes for Christmas. I own B&R Christmas Decorators.
And we're sitting here in your office in Bensonhurst in Brooklyn. Do you do most of your work around here, or where are you decorating?
Mostly Diker Heights and in the tri-state area.
Jersey, New York.
Mostly Queens, Manhattan, Staten Island, and Brooklyn.
Of all those places, Diker Heights is probably the most famous. It's sort of like almost like a competitive sport here, decorating houses for Christmas, right?
Yes.
Like, could you describe the kinds of stuff that you see? Like, what do these houses end up looking like?
A lot of people are wanting to do more than the other client. Someone has an extra lamb in their nativity, another person will put like three lambs in their nativity.
So it's just a game of one-upsmanship in this neighborhood. And you look at like some of the pictures, you see them, it's like dozens of Santas and just like the entire house covered. And I mean, it's extreme, right?
Yeah, very extreme.
Is there anywhere else that you work where you see that kind of decorating?
Not that I do, no. Just mostly Diker Heights is that big area that does all, you know, I do all the big lights and a lot of homes there.
So how long have you been doing Christmas decorating? How'd you get into this?
27 years. And how I got into it is my dad was doing, having his electric put in the outside garden while I was doing Christmas lights. And the guy who was doing the electric said to me, oh, I know a guy in Diker Heights that's looking to do his lights. You're doing a good job here. He says, I'll bring you over. So when I went over, he had two workers. He owns a title place. He had two of his workers doing lights and they didn't know what they were doing. So I showed them what to do. And I think I made $75 a day or something like that. And while I was doing that, cars were passing by and going, oh, you do lights? And I was like, well, yeah, I do lights. So I took those two guys and I went to the next house. And from there on down, I got business.
So it started off as something you did at home when you were young, and it just turned into a business.
Right.
How long was it just you doing it?
It was me, and then I had a friend help me for about maybe 2 years, and her husband helped me. And then after that, my cousins and brother helped me, and then I started hiring guys. And here I am now.
Are you mostly in the office now, or are you out there hanging lights still? What's your day-to-day?
I'm both. I'm in the office doing estimates, and I'm out there overseeing what the guys are doing.
Okay, so you're kind of like the foreman on the crew.
Right, absolutely. Well, I have three foremen, and I have three trucks, and each foreman is in charge of their jobs. But I have a head foreman that oversees everything. And I oversee the whole business.
Okay.
But in the beginning, I was out there doing lights myself, the whole thing.
How many houses do you do in a year now?
We're up to 189.
189 houses. Is that just for Christmas, or is that all the houses you do during a year for other holidays too?
It's just for Christmas.
Just for Christmas. Right. And, you know, in what kind of a time span are you doing all those houses?
We start October 15th, physically, till February 1st, taking down everything. But we're in the office doing estimates and, you know, getting ready for the business from August.
From August. Mm-hmm. That's when it starts.
Right. But then we do Valentine's and St. Patty's Day, too. So that's another area.
That's another season.
Yeah.
The competitive Christmas decorating season basically starts in the summer.
Yes, I would say so. For me, yeah.
For you, yeah. For the business.
We start making wreaths. We start, you know, getting organized. We fix, clean up the shops, order all material, get the materials in, organize that.
Are you ordering stuff? Are you're actually building decorations?
We order the supplies, and then we make what wreaths custom to whatever people want. Some people want green lights on the wreaths with green balls and yellow gold balls. Some people want red balls and blue balls.
So you're putting together supplies. You're ordering like Santas and stuff. I see you're not building the plastic Santa for a mold.
No. But yeah. We actually used to do animated figures.
Oh, yeah?
And we used to have another company who used to work with us. You'll see them in Zyka Heights. They animated figures. A lot of soldiers that move their hands up and down. So we used to do that. Now that's a thing of the past. We don't do that anymore.
What happened to the animated figures?
They became too expensive. Yeah, people don't want to pay that kind of money. And it was a lot of people wanted the animated figures the season that they wanted their lights, and you had to pre-order the animated figures from the year before, and people weren't getting that.
So who's coming up with these decorative schemes?
Me.
You're designing all of them.
I design every single one.
Where do you start with that?
So what we do is we get a phone call. Then we ask for pictures of the house. I ask them if there's anything special they'd like to do. But otherwise, I come up with a design. I oversee it with them. And then if they give me the okay, we go and do it.
Do you have like a design philosophy? Like what is your secret to putting together a proper Christmas lights display?
I do elegant.
Elegant.
Elegant with lots of lights, but not gaudy. We make custom bows that are very rare, so that's my signature. So if you go around the areas, Zyka Heights, you'll see all my bows. You know that's my house.
And it's like, is that bow light up, or is it?
No, they don't light it up. They're just, you know,
someone else would ribbon. Do a light up bow.
Yeah,
that's
no, not me. No, not I usually don't do that or blow ups. I'm not really
not into blow ups.
No,
you do
really.
See a lot of blow ups, though.
Yeah, I mean, if people have them, they want them to put them up, but I'm not. I don't. It's not my style, the blow-ups. It's, you know, I just do more reindeers and Santas and snowmen, wire figures more than blow-ups.
Wire figures, as opposed to like the plastic.
Yeah, they're more elegant.
And so when you're designing a thing for a client, is it mostly clients you come back to year after year?
Absolutely. I have a lot of clients that come back, but then we have like maybe 15% who don't do it, and then we get more, you know, maybe 20%, you know, the following year.
How many lights can you have on a single house?
So there's a greenhouse that we do in Zyka Heights. It's on 83rd Street. That house has 32,000 lights. That's the most lights I've done on a house.
On a single house?
That's the biggest, yeah.
What's like a typical house?
I would say maybe like 1,000.
So that 32,000 guy, that guy's going big.
Yeah. I can imagine his electricity bill.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
The actual installation, is that dangerous work? Do people get hurt doing that? I mean, that's like the stereotype about like the dad at home falling off the roof.
Oh my God, please. Luckily, nothing's happened yet, but I make sure my men who work with me are safe. They wear straps on them on the ladders. They tie the ladders. And if it's raining or snow, we don't work. You know, we make sure it's dry.
Yeah. So that's like the
and my philosophy is being safe.
Is there like a secret to actually installing the stuff that like most people who do this at home don't know? Or
I make sure everything is beautiful.
that's the secret.
Now I'm on top of my guys. If I see a house, if there's so many houses, I don't oversee every house. But if there's a house that I pass and my guys did it, and I see there's something wrong, I'll make sure they go back and fix it. That's why people call me back. And if people's lights are out, I'm guaranteed I fix it.
Oh,
I will never leave people without their lights.
Is there like a technical aspect to this, like figuring out how like wire the circuits and stuff?
Yeah, Yeah, there is. We do electrical. You know, we make sure everything's custom. Everything's separated. All the electric is separated by amps. And circuit breakers are separate and safe. And
so part of so part of this is actually sort of electrician work.
Yeah, which we have.
Oh, so you actually have like you have electricians you bring on to do this.
Yes.
Is there like a point where that becomes necessary for doing Christmas light a certain scale?
Yeah, because we're over, like, we have a lot of houses. So we need someone to go out and follow us after we do the lighting. We have someone come follow us and connect everything.
For someone at home, it's not the kind of thing you could actually do without a professional, unless you actually know how to do electrical.
Because, I mean, people do their own lights.
Yeah.
But the big houses that I do, I don't think they're going to be able to do the electric. That's why they hire us. Because we separate, we make sure everything's equal, all the amperage is safe. Nothing burns out, nothing blow, you know, goes on fire or anything like that.
I was going to say, if you do it wrong,
The worst thing that could go off if it happened is the circuit breakers will go, the lights will go out.
Okay. So,
and then they call me. Maybe some areas of the house have too many lights and the circuit breaker went, and then we separate it again.
But you do have to think about all
That's a big part of it, the electrical. Very big part.
Is that something you diagram ahead of time, or is it?
Yes.
You've got it. So that's
especially on the big houses, yeah.
So that's part of the design process. Right. Is
small houses, you could basically use a small, like one plug or two plugs and one outlet and separate it by that and do, you know, a small house. But the big houses, you can go up to like 15 outlets separated like eight different areas.
Yeah, so part of the challenge here is to do these huge displays and not blow out the electricity in the whole house.
Well, a big part of it is separating the electricity, and that's a hard part.
Are there particular color schemes that you like when you're decorating with lights?
It depends on the year. Usually, like some years it's red and white.
Yeah.
Some years it's green and white. Some years it's multi.
Yeah.
This year, a lot of people are using multi. More than usual.
Yeah.
But basically, a lot of people use clear. I do one house that is green, and I don't do anybody else green. I do one house that is blue in Decker Heights. I don't do anybody else that is blue.
Is that because you say, I'm only going to do this for you?
Yeah, because they are big clients, and they pay good money, and I want to make sure that they're happy, and I don't want to have everybody. They don't want to have anybody looking like their house.
They're paying for exclusivity on your design.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. But I'll do those lights in another area, or I'll do green and white. I won't do all green.
And so you'll go into Jersey and do a blue house, but you won't do one here where people are kind of trying.
Not Jersey, but I wouldn't do it in Decker Heights. I'll do it maybe in Bensonhurst or Bay Ridge or Staten Island.
Do you ever have to tell other clients, no, sorry, I can't do this because I'm only doing it for this guy? Or
A couple.
Yeah, you have to break some hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Disappoint. Funny. This might sound like a dumb question, but are you like a big Christmas guy personally? Like,
I always was.
Oh, God.
And this is like a dream for me. I love Christmas. Yeah, my whole family did.
Like, were you religious family or is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, we went to church.
Catholic or?
Catholic.
Yeah. Catholic. So, yeah. Yeah, Catholic.
I wouldn't be a Jewish guy doing Christmas. Oh, maybe.
That'd be a whole episode. It's like,
But we do some Jewish people.
Oh, yeah. You do Hanukkah?
Yeah, we do. We do blue lights, especially in New Ponset, Rockaway.
Do they get competitive with the
Hanukkah
lights?
Really,
No. It's not the same thing. They're not trying to outdo each other's menorah kind of thing.
That'd be funny. No, but Decker Heights is the most competitive.
I mean, with Decker Heights, do you ever get complaints that like, oh, this guy's house was better than mine like last year? Like, do people ever get like surly about that?
One year, I did have a complaint that we did a house very similar.
Yeah.
The style, and it was on the same block.
Oh, that's a cardinal sin.
Yeah, but I do houses, not similar, but I have like a way I do houses that you could tell that I do the houses, but apparently she thought it was very similar, which I didn't say, but.
Yeah, so it was like, she thought it was more than just you leaving your signature.
Right, yeah, she thought
it wasn't just the bow.
That's too close to, why'd you make it like my house? We're on the same block. Oh, God.
How do you actually design a Christmas light installation? Like, what do you use to do that?
I do it by hand, actually. I get two pictures, and I do two different designs. And then I use markers or whatever, and I sketch everything out. I call the client. I either send them the pictures, and they oversee it. They pick one, and that's how we do it.
So you get a picture of the house, and you literally just...
I design it with markers whatever, and then my guys get the sketches they choose, and they follow that sketch. Then once we do the house, we take a picture of the house, and then for the following year, they know what to do.
clients will do the same design year after year?
Yeah, sometimes they'll add something or maybe not do something a little bit different.
So, but it is just like, it's a by hand thing. It's like,
it's by hand, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It takes too long for the computer. I just sketch it quick because I'm an artist.
You're an artist,
I'm an art therapist on the side.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. So this is.
I work with special ed kids.
Oh, very neat. Yeah. So you got two jobs.
Yes, but I only work 3 days a week because this has become, it's growing.
So you do art therapy and
with
then...
children, 3 to 5 year olds. I do that because I love it. We do a lot of sensory Play-Doh, painting, you know, a lot of manipulative with the hands.
And so this is then kind of... This is
I've always done that. I was a teacher, a teacher for pre-K. Then I became an art therapist, and then this is growing. So now I'm part-time and this is becoming, this is my thing more.
You were a teacher when you started doing lights, too.
Yes. Oh, actually, I was an assistant teacher when I started doing lights. Then I became a teacher, and I became a therapist.
So you've been doing these two things that you kind of parallel.
Yes, it's a lot to handle.
Yeah, really growing this business.
It's exhausting, but I love it. I love this.
It sounds like, you know, part of the fun is probably also like kids have to love the lights, too. That's got to be like part of satisfaction, right?
Yeah, absolutely. People come from around the world. There's bus tours that come from Jersey and Canal Street. They come to see the view of the lights.
Yeah. Do you ever try to like scout out which houses are getting like the most attention from tourists? Or
no, but what I'm going to do eventually is what I want to do is I want to make a sketch of all the, a map of all the houses that I do that I could put on Google that people can see all the houses that I do.
Yeah, that's cool.
They're coming here anyway. I might as well, right?
Might as well, right?
They come to see my houses mostly.
Yeah. So you've been living and working here for decades now. Do you know, how did Christmas in Diker Heights become a thing? Like, do you know? Like, how did it get so competitive?
I won't use the word competitive. I would just say, why did people come to see the lights?
Yeah.
How did that become? I don't know. Somebody got a good idea to, I've always done houses. People always used to come around. But now it's become, with the tour buses, it's become, forget it. The 10 things to, at this time, if you go on Google and say, if you come from another country and you're coming to visit New York, the 10 things to do in New York City at this time is go see Diker Lights.
I didn't realize that.
People see that and they come.
Yeah, so you're getting like a flood of people from like TripAdvisor.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and that means the stakes are higher for the people who are doing it. What's the kind of thing can go wrong in this business?
Well, I had one truck that I sent. My friend was getting married. He's getting married in Long Island. And as a gift, he asked me to decorate the backyard, the tent. So I sent my guys there and I did a sketch of the tent, which looked like a little house. And my guys came back. I asked them, is everything okay? Yeah, everything came out perfect. Okay. So I get a call from my friend. He goes, James, what happened? I go, what do you mean? He goes, the house looks great, but they didn't decorate the tent. They decorated the house. I'm like, what? I was like, I could not believe this. they decorated the house instead of the tent. So I had to send them back. I left that up. And to go back and decorate the tent. I was so upset. I can't.
If there's one thing people need to know about this line of work, what is it? Like, if you want to see people know one thing about your job, what would it be?
It's a lot of work. People don't understand that if we price a house and it seems like it's a little pricey, it's because we got to pay staff, we got to pay insurance, we got to pay for material, we got to pay for wire, we got to do screws. It's just, it costs a lot of money. It's just not just, it's going on roofs. It's very tedious.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's the one thing I want to know is that if we do charge a house and it seems like it's a little more than they wanted to do, it's because it's a lot of work.
Is that a issue with clients who think, oh, you're just sending a few guys on a roof with some lights?
Or? Yeah. You know, sometimes we estimate a house that could be like maybe, I don't know, $800 or $1,000. And, oh, that's too much. But, you know, we're doing a house for that much. I mean, we're going on a roof. So it takes a lot of work. And then we got to come back and take it down. So that's why it costs that, you know.
And people don't write labor, materials, insurance, and all
wire,
that stuff.
Wire, everything. Car insurance, truck rentals.
Yeah.
It adds up.
If you want
plus the risk of doing it. You want to hire someone to do it. I think people just go on Google and just want to, let me just see how much it is. But when we do it takes time for the phone call, for the process, and to do an estimate, to do the drawing, and to call you back, to say, oh, I don't want to do it. No, it's too much. So it's like, why are you calling? It's not going to be $200.
So that's a problem. It's like perception. It's like
a little bit this year, yeah. I mean, we're reasonable. Our prices are reasonable, but people think they're not. Because I don't think they know what it entails to do a house.
No, they should try doing it themselves.
I know, exactly.
All right, man. Thanks for coming in for a chat.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having
us here. Thank you.
That's it for this week's episode of Working. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please leave us a review at Apple Podcasts. And of course, you can always send me an email at working@slate.com. Working is produced by Jessamine Molly. A special thank you to Justin DeWright for the ad music. We'll be back with hopefully finishing up the homelessness season in the next couple of weeks. Enjoy.